for the Battle of Armageddon, the drying up the Euphrates, so that the to facilitate that the nations from the east can get there on time. They have an appointment with wrath, and they want them, and God wants them there on time. So He knows exactly what God knows exactly what to do, when to do it, how much, how little, in everything. He's absolute perfection in everything, and everything is set up to focus on the end game, so to speak, the plan of God, and moving forward. And that includes everything in your life as a positive believer. He'll work it together for good. It may not seem that way now, but He will work it together for good. You just stay in prayer, stay in fellowship, and stay under doctrine. And if you can't make it here, you can get it online. We had a little bit of a problem, but we got it fixed. Okay? John, thank you, John. We got that fixed. Anyway, technical thing with regard to our webpage and accessing it through the network we use. Anyway, all right. We were noting here the leaders of the whole earth will join the king of the west and the kings of the east in the final battle. Verse 13, I'm on page 13. Verse 13 supplies an explanation of the impetus to muster such a large fighting force. The three uses of the preposition ek, from, is indicative of a propaganda campaign through which the unholy trinity will fan the fanaticism of the nations at large to mount a campaign to withstand the second advent. You can fool people on darn near anything. Look at this recent trip to the moon, so-called. It is a farce. You think they could do better than that? And it's embarrassing. What in the blank? It's like amateur hour. You know, and they show them in these gravity-free place, you know. And one guy caught a deal. A water flies up in the air if there's no gravity to hold it down. Well, there's a glass sitting over there on the counter with full of water and it ain't going anywhere. They see all of these anomalies, all these things that don't fit. It's just, and what kind of human beings prostitute themselves and their honor to be a part of something they know is a complete fraud. Talk to my son Jeff, talk about the speed it was supposed to be coming back and all this mess. And the problems with that physically. And that's what one of the things I like is of all the abuses that the internet and these kind of things can foster, it also can get the truth out there. And God will use one person maybe to start the ball rolling and start exposing this stuff. And then others will come along and here we go. And they did it with a flat earth. They've done it with other things. And they keep doing it. Because these lofty ideas raised up against the knowledge of God are all going to be shot down. In the tribulation, there ain't going to be anybody running around talking about, you know, like our president will pop off. I think we ought to go to Mars. What kind of honor is in a person, if you were in that kind of a position, that you wouldn't expose this to the American people? Tell them the truth. You afraid of the consequences? Is your political position so important that you will maintain the lie? I've told you over and over again, these people at the top give us the middle finger. They know what it is. They know it. I could have went my entire life and never looked at the UN flag and say, what? What's that doing on there? That's old-timey stuff. That isn't relevant. And it's not only just on there. It's all through their organization. And they got steel things built up that show it. They got it on a big conference hall right up here. Not a globe. So here we are, last days. Don't be surprised. You're not. You've been around enough to know that Satan will use science, knowledge falsely so called, to deceive the masses. So I went to school. In my high school, I had biology. Then, of course, we had to throw in the evolution stuff and all the rest of it. One of the mandatory classes that ought to be in every school is logic. Logic. Starting with, just like in any subject, math or anything, you start with basic stuff and you work your way up a ladder so you can sort out what's not right. You read a paper, you go through it, and there's truth in it, and then there's this thing. And you find it out because God gave you your mind. If you didn't have any logic, you'd probably be destroyed in no time. You use common sense and logic for you and for the well-being of others. So this propaganda campaign in the Trib here at the end will be very heavy duty. And point six, the influence of speech can hardly be underestimated in bringing volition to attempt the insane, to buy into the insane. Nothing's worked thus far, but now it's going to. Well, it's right here in the Bible that you're not going to win. Oh, no. That's just the Bible. Satan here called here the dragon, who entered the visional activity in 12, 3, and 9, has been behind the scenes empowering the beast all along, 13:2. The beast is his prime proponent of evil all along. In the picture since 11:7, but more fully described in 13:11 and following. This is the first use of the name false prophet, but it refers to the second beast, or the beast from the earth encountered in 13:11 and following. This designation will be maintained throughout the rest of the book. It expresses his deceptiveness as the lying prophet who is in league with Satan's front man, 13:14. They're joined at the hip. As I've said, when I did Revelation back in the day, I never mentioned the name Nostradamus. Now I do. I'm betting that's the guy. It has to be a Jew. It cannot be, and it can't be some guy in history that was a big nobody. There's jillions of false prophets through time. It had to be somebody of significance. False prophets, along with false Christs, will spring up all over the place in the last days. They're online, they're everywhere. False teachers spreading their propaganda. Be on your guard. I wouldn't waste my time. You know, the minute they start talking their nonsense, I'm out of here. Yeah, forget it. They had some guy online said, the new Nostradamus. Yeah, right. See, I try to piece these things together. That's where I came to the conclusion that he's Jewish. And the Antichrist is not Jewish. He's Gentile. Well, the Jews would never worship a Gentile as Messiah. Don't underestimate their ability to stoop. Look at what they did in the Old Testament at times. or the false gods and everything. Human sacrifice. So don't say they wouldn't do that. There's a series of verses here that all deal with the warning to believers with regard to the rise of false prophets, false Christs in the last days. I've stumbled across a couple of them online. There's one down in the Philippines, claiming to be Jesus even. And people are dumb enough to come out by the hundreds and follow the moron. I'm sure he's probably demon possessed. This is the ultimate false prophet heading up the cult of the Antichrist. From these three false mouths come three unclean spirits. Unclean is a common New Testament designation referring to fallen angels or demons, as per all those verses, as verse 14 will make clear. In John's vision, these three demons appear as that of frogs. Why frogs? It's the noise frogs make. I can't mimic it, and I'm not going to try to. But they make a very distinctive sound when they're out there. I've heard them making their particular noise that comes from their mouth. It gets your attention. Here's this relatively small creature making this noise. Frogs under the Levitical code were considered to be unclean animals. Leviticus 11, 10 through 11 and 41. Frogs recall the second Egyptian plague. Exodus 8, 5. But no pestilence arises from this sending out. These were literal frogs that did something that frogs wouldn't do. They left their natural habitat, the Nile River. They just went out of that river and went into people's houses and everything. There was a population explosion of frogs, and they were just every dang place, making their noise. That's one obnoxious thing. And then when that plague was stopped, they just died and rotted, and people had to gather them up and get rid of them. Ew. So it had another bad side to it. So the thing I get out of frogs is they make a distinctive noise, like some animals do, for their size and other features. A parenthetical explanation introduced by Gar 4 extends through signs and explains the power of the unclean spirits. These spirits possess the same capacities to effect miracles, but the second beast has in deceiving people. Their deceptive work is reminiscent of the deceiving spirit that lured Ahab into battle, 1 Kings 22:19-22. The agents of persuasion are the three demons. Their mission is to persuade the existing rulers of the earth to muster armies and bring them into the Middle East. And so what are they doing with those nations? Putting on a big show of miracles, fire out of heaven, and other type of supernatural activities to wow the reluctant and get them all fired up. You notice how easy it is today to get people all worked up about something through the news and everything? And they just line up like nobody's business, right and left. Beware of propaganda. They can speak out of both sides of their mouth. One day say this, next day say that. It doesn't even bother them, these politicians. Well, he said that back here. Now he's over here. Or she. The already advancing armies of the kings of the east supply an impetus for these kings to muster their forces for this great confrontation. The expression, the whole inhabited world, appears in 3:10 and 12:9 with the same meaning as here. The infinitive together expresses the purpose of the demonic expedition. Under the sixth bowl, this gathering takes place. The battle proper occurs in connection with the seventh and final bowl. Because right after it's dropped, we'll get to it, right after it's dropped, we're coming back with Jesus Christ to this earth. All church age believers are going to return with him in the sky, and everyone will see it. And we'll be the audience that will watch what he's going to do to those armies. With the word out of his mouth will be like a big sword, and these people are just going to explode. It's going to be the messiest, bloodiest battlefield you ever can imagine. We'll get to it. Blood is going to run at places up to a horse's bridle. What? That's a lot of blood and a lot of dummies that should have stayed home. They should have went AWOL. I ain't going into that battle. We're going to shoot you. Knock yourself out. At least I'm in the will of God. And I'll see you. And then I'm going to step over into the millennium. So the gathering of the world forces at the very end of the trib is in line with Old Testament prophetic teaching. That God's enemies will gather against Israel in the last days. So this is more on the same topic of certain prophets like Joel and Zechariah, where they talk about this battle. This is the ultimate battle predicted in Psalm 2, 1 through 3. John terms it the battle of the great day of God, the Almighty. Divine omnipotence. You can't get around that. Divine omnipotence will be fully demonstrated on this day. This is the day of Christ coming to do the battle with the Antichrist and all those forces vying for supremacy over the land of promise, and the crown jewel is they want to take Jerusalem. All right, I'll see you Tuesday, God willing. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.